month. I don't know how many times you've been with me. But Brother Webb, thank you for being a preacher friend. You have encouraged me probably far more than you realize. I highly respect your pastor here. Love him and appreciate him and the family of God here. Appreciate all the preacher brethren here tonight. Don't you appreciate and love Brother Charles Barnett? I love preachers that still reach for people. Just not preach a text, but get a hold of the Lord. Reach for people. Brother Webb had me on standby. I understand, you understand, I'm plan B. I might have been plan D, I don't know. Thanks. I prepared a brand new, spanking new message, one I've never preached. And I was always told, don't do that in camp meeting, homecoming. You know, preach something tried. Don't do anything from scratch. I got this brand new message a couple mornings ago. I woke up. I don't know if it was a dream, what it was. I'm looking over this congregation. I'm looking for a young lady. God didn't show me your face. I don't know your name. I could stand in front of you and not know who you are. But you're here. I'm preaching to you. You're fixing to destroy your life. And cause heartbreak and pain to your family. 2 Samuel chapter 11. When Brother Barnett read his text this morning, announced his text, my heart fell to my feet. He's going to preach my message. But as he began to preach, I understood God had this day planned out. God knows what he's doing. He's laid everything in order. Ma'am, he loved you enough to reach about 285 miles down in North Carolina on the South Carolina line and disturb me and wake me up. I'm here to preach to you. Would you stretch your hand toward heaven and pray before we read 2 Samuel chapter 11? Let me be hid, let Christ be seen. Put your words in my mouth in Christ's name. Let's stand in honor to the word. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba?" Does anybody hear any sarcasm there? And one said, I kind of think the servant of David was saying, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? She's somebody's daughter, David. She has a father." The wife of Uriah the Hittite. She's somebody's wife, David. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." Verse 26. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I'm preaching tonight, beware the traveler. Beware the traveler. You may be seated. No sin except the sin of Adam and Eve has received more attention than the sin of David and Bathsheba. The terrible, shocking evil that is recorded here in chapter 11 forms a tragic, devastating turning point in the life of David. In reading about David, one feels that he comes to this chapter of Scripture and he's reading about a totally different person who is wholly unrelated to the David of previous chapters in Scripture. Look at his track record. A humble beginning. A giant killer. 2 decades of sterling leadership. Choice men in the right place. A military force every foe respected. Enlarged boundaries, now reaching 60,000 square miles. No defeats on the battlefield. Exports, imports, strong national defense, financial health throughout Israel. A beautiful new home, plans to build the temple of God. David is now about 50 years old. He has been on the throne for about 20 years. He has distinguished himself as a man of God, a composer of psalms, a faithful shepherd, a valiant warrior on the battlefield as the leader of his people. But he was a man of passion as well as compassion. No one is too young. No one ever gets too old to fall. At this point in David's life, His life is unguarded. In a weakened moment, his life crumbles at his feet. He pays a terrible price. If David, the great man that he was, a man after God's own heart, could fall so terribly, how much more fervently and faithfully must we guard our life from the snares of sin? I remember Paul saying, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so, David seems to prosper. For about a year, things are fine. David goes on as usual. God saw you, and it displeased him. David thought he had taken care of it. It's under the rug. It's covered up. God hadn't forgot. And so Nathan appears on the scene with this parable I want to preach on tonight. There's a rich man. That's all kind of lambs, cattle, riches. There's a poor man, has one lamb. Amen. Nathan comes and says in chapter 12, verse 4, there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. As a result, chapter 15 and 17, if you want to turn there, the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place afar off. Because of the actions of chapter 11, Nathan put his finger in David's face and said, you are the man. You're the rich man. You've taken this poor man, Uriah's wife, the only lamb he had. And because there came a traveler, the king went forth and tarried afar off. Now, as I look at this parable, I understand the rich man is David. I understand who the poor man is. I understand that one single lamb, who she is. But who is this traveler? Who's the traveler? Amen. As I began, as you began to analyze that, the traveler represents that unholy desire that came to David regarding Bathsheba. It was temptation. It was lust. It was desire. The traveler has knocked and is knocking on the door of someone tonight. And if you're not careful, you're going to go down the same road that David went down. But I beseech you tonight, beware of the traveler. Beware of the traveler. Oh, I'm in a whole
Holiness Church. I was raised holiness. I'm coming to church. I don't care if you sung in the choir tonight. There is a young lady that you are holding in your hand, either in a smartphone or a mouse, and the traveler is making inroads in the Bahia, into your life, and you better flee from the traveler. Beware of the traveler.
I want to tell you three things about this traveler tonight. Three things about this unholy desire. The traveler entered. He entered. He came to David, the rich man in this parable. Evil thoughts, desires do come to people. It's not sin to be tempted. The sin is when you yield to the temptation. The traveler entered. You know how it entered? Brother Meekum, I was on YouTube. I looked up a gospel song. Oh, God. And then something else popped up. Not sin. Not so bad. But then that led to something else, and that led to something else, and that led to something else. Yeah, I'm preaching to young men too. We ain't talking about these young men and old men and pornography. But God told me a young lady's in trouble. You're here. Oh, God. Oh, God. The traveler entered. Yeah. What happened next? The traveler was entertained. When he entered, you started to entertain him. Flee now, I'll be broken forever. Flee now, I'll be broken forever. You are at a critical point, young lady. I don't know if you're 35, 15, or 12. I don't know. I don't know who you are, but you are here. You may be the daughter of the best family in this church. I didn't pastor 34 years the same church and not see that sin is no respecter of persons. Oh, God. It wasn't for judgment. One day when I went to the church and prayed, and the Holy Ghost spoke, said, your Sunday school teacher's committed adultery. I called her up. Jay husband come to the parsonage. I need to talk to y'all. She denied it. She said, I maybe in spirit. She didn't even get back to her house. She told her husband, pull over. She confessed everything to him. What'd you do? She didn't teach Sunday school for X amount of time. I prayed, and God restored them. That's what God's after. He ain't after punishment. He's after restoration. I am not after, and the Holy Ghost is not after, embarrassing anybody here tonight. I'm telling you, he's entered, and you have begun to entertain him. The traveler entertained. The rich man entertained the traveler. He prepared him a meal. Entertained him. David fed his evil thoughts with much time and attention. Evil thoughts must be starved of affection, of attention, or they will capture and corrupt you. The traveler entered. The traveler entertained. And then the traveler was enthroned. It's right there in chapter 12, 2 Samuel. It's there in the Bible. Huh? The rich man dressed it, the lamb, for the man that was come unto him. The traveler took the position of master, and the rich man becomes his servant and has to kill and cook and prepare the lamb and serve it to the master. Pray for me, church. That thing that you think you can control, I'm going to cut it off before it takes control of me. The traveler entered. He entered because he knocked on your heart's door. And you opened. And he entered. Then he sat down. And you began to entertain him. And he became the master. That's the Ede Osuto Osetete. Oh, Nalamata. Church, lift your hand and say, Lord, rescue somebody tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Lamataya. David is a king, he's a leader. He's a master, but he becomes a slave to his passions. He is mastered. Hey, that is the progress of evil. If you do not quickly stop it, it takes the position of master. Elamataya. It goes from a caller to wearing the crown. It goes from a guest to a governor, a ruler. My God, if you can't handle it, get you a dumb phone that all you can do is make calls on. Oh, God. Have you ever thought about how did David go from those first 10 chapters? My, from the man there to what happened in chapter 11. And then Nathan shows up, and in chapter 12, there came a traveler. How'd you get there? What happens in temptation? In temptation goes like this. In our members, there is a slumbering inclination toward desire. It can be both sudden and fierce. You'll hit temptation. Where did that come from? I thought I'd long prayed through over that. Why in the world is that even tempting me? Huh? With irresistible power, desire seizes the mastery of the flesh. Amen. And then, all at once, a secret smoldering fire kindles. The flesh burns. It bursts into flames. It doesn't make any difference, church, if it's sexual desire, if it's vanity, if it's desire for vengeance, revenge. It don't matter if it's love for fame, love for power, greed for money. That devil does not care how he takes you to hell. But he'll snatch you right off of this pew and dangle you over hell if you don't guard your life. Randy Wells, my pastor. Glenn Meekum was Debbie's pastor. Didn't stop the devil from trapping her in adultery and almost destroying a home. Young lady, please. Have you been entertaining the traveler? Stop. Stop. Show him the door. Did he enter? Show him the door. Oh God. Holy God. Show him the door. Oh God. In that moment of temptation, God becomes quite unreal to you. God's not real anymore. All you're feeling is the lust, the desire. God's not real anymore. You pushed him out the door when you brought the traveler in. Huh? God loses all reality to you. You lose all reality, and only desire for that creature is real at that moment. Lust thus aroused envelops the mind and the will of man in the deepest darkness. Powers of clear decision, discrimination are taken from you. It is here that everything within you at this point rises up against the Word of God. God and His Word are put on the other side of the door, and the traveler is enthroned. Hey, Lamahura Matai. You, God. That's the reason the Bible teaches us in time of temptation in the flesh, there's only one command. Flee! Flee! Flee fornication. Flee idolatry. Flee youthful lust. Flee the lust of the world. There is no resistance to Satan in lust other than flight. The Bible says flee. You better flee tonight. You will be broken if you don't. Hear me. The only way out is flight. That was the only way for Joseph. If you can't get that traveler back out the door, you leave him there and you run out the door. What do you mean? There's no other resistance against the lust of Satan than flight. I'm telling you, every struggle against lust in your own strength is doomed to failure. It is, oh, let me say, it's stronger than you. You're no match for it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But you better have a respect for the cunning of the devil, the power of lust, the weakness of the flesh. Hey, come on, see. Lutumarandele bataya. Oh, yes. If you do not run, you will fall. Somebody help me preach tonight. It's only a matter of time. David stood on the roof of that palace with no one else around, and he lost all realization, great God, of who he was and what would happen if he committed this sin as a smoldering desire up and down, way down inside of him, burst in the flames. Oh, God became distant. God became unreal to him. He forgot he was God's man. He was blinded by desire for her. He became engulfed with imagination. That's what happens in temptation. Oh, pray for me, church. Pray. David's priorities were in the wrong place. Verse 1. Look at that 11th chapter, 2 Samuel 11th chapter. Verse 1, his priorities are in the wrong place. Young lady, ma'am, whatever your age is, me and you too, what's your priority? David should have been out to war with the troops. Instead, he's home relaxing. He belonged in the battle, but he's in the bedroom. You know what I found out? You know what the saints of God have found out? Our greatest battles don't usually come when we're working hard. They come when we have leisure. When we got time on our hands, when we are bored. The most dangerous time in your life as a Christian is when you get bored. May I add to that, your greatest weakness is an unguarded strength. David's life, brethren, was unguarded at this time. His priorities were in their own place. What do you mean priorities? I mean your preferences. What's your priority? What's your preferences? What do you put a premium on? What's your premiums? What is preeminent in your life? What has the supremacy? What's urgent in your life? What do you hold as valuable? What's of value? What is of significance? What holds dominance in your life? Young lady, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you. Don't leave. Don't leave like you came. Oh, God. His priorities were in the wrong place. His eyes were in the wrong place. Verse 2. When Bathsheba took her bath, David should have looked away. But he continued to watch. Oh, you know. You needed to get away from there. Not only take it out of history so your parents won't find it, but you need to put a password in there. Let your parent pick the password and not tell you. I got a good pastor friend that his wife, he uses internet for business and ministry, but his wife has put a password at his invitation on his computer so he don't let him go places he don't need to go. Oh, you know, I believe the Holy Ghost can keep him. He believes the Holy Ghost can keep him, but he knows he's flesh and blood. Where are your eyes tonight? Oh, God. If David could have remembered, sweet psalmist, do you not remember writing Psalm 101 and 3? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. David, why didn't you get your Bible? The law, the book of Job, things that were written in your time, before your time. Why didn't you turn over that to Job 31 and 1? I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think on a maid? Oh, David, your own offspring, Solomon, would write after you in Proverbs, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyes look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Proverbs 23 and 5, wilt thou set thine eyes on upon that which is not. Talks about riches that will take wings. That lust will not last. It will not continue to satisfy you. And you are going to live a miserable, oh God, you're fixing to embarrass your family, embarrass your church. You're fixing to destroy your life. Flee, flee, flee from that desire. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. We better think about it, men and ladies. His mind was in the wrong place in verse 6 through 13. David tried to cover up his sin with Bathsheba, trying to get her husband to sleep with her so he could credit him with the child. God said, it ain't going to happen. Not so. Are you too bored to be challenged with some scripture tonight? Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind
the things of the flesh. His mind. Your mind has been in the wrong place. I said, your mind's been in the wrong place. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. Listen, who mind earthly things? Where's your mind? Where's your mind? 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The promise still stands from the prophet Isaiah. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Verse 14 through 27, his heart's in the wrong place. I said his heart's in the wrong place. Planning the murder of Uriah under the guile of battle. Took his wife as his wife. His heart was not right with God. You cannot continue to let that traveler enter and entertain him and be right with God. Ain't gonna happen. Oh God, I don't care how many times you come and pray in this altar, what will happen is another layer of hardness of heart. When you continue to play with the traveler, hey, come, I say, God says, come clean, come out, away, flee, get the victory over it. His priorities, his eyes, his mind, his heart was in the wrong place. Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Keep thine heart with all diligence out of it are the issues of life. So what now?
What now?
The bitter fruit and fruits of David's sin now began to multiply. There's the loss of the child conceived in adultery. There's the rape of Tamar by Amnon, his half-sister. Absalom, the full brother of Tamar, took revenge, murders Amnon. He has vanished after so long a period of time. He comes back and he begins to steal the heart of the people, and there's insurrection. Methinks all this is what David said and cursed himself with. He said he will pay fourfold. Here's four things. But can I suggest to you there might have been something far worse? You know what his sin cost him? He had to abandon Jerusalem. Here. Brother Shad would say, come near. Come near. Come here, church. Draw near. Draw in here. David lost the place of worship. He had to leave the place of worship. He had to leave the place where God's name was and is. Third of all, he had to leave the presence of God. Two notable places David had to walk through to forsake or abandon Jerusalem. If you continue entertaining and allow this traveler to be enthroned, you will be removed from Jerusalem. But there's two places you have to pass through if you go the way David did. When he left Jerusalem, he had to go through the Kidron Valley, and he had to go over the Mount of Olives. Kidron Valley is that place of weeping. The Bible said the whole congregation wept as they passed through. Sin will bring you sorrow and tears and weeping. When he come through that place of weeping, he had to start up the ascent of the Mount of Olives. When you decide you want to entertain the traveler more than you want to abide in Jerusalem, you have to start ascending the Mount of Olives. What's that about, Brother Meekum? That's where Gethsemane is. That's where Jesus prayed, "Not my will, thine be done." When you leave Jerusalem, you have to say, "Not your will, God. I want to do my will." You got to walk over Jesus, sweating like blood, saying, "Thy will be done." The Mount of Olives is where Jesus taught the disciples. When you make up your mind, you're going to enthrone that traveler. You're going to leave Jerusalem. You have to trample the teachings of Jesus. You have to go right by the place where Jesus taught you. Oh God. Oh God. You got to go. Hear me now. You got to go like David did. Listen. Plus that place of ascension where Jesus went back to heaven to pray for you. You got to trample Jesus sitting on the throne praying for you. Ma'am, he is on the throne tonight. He's praying for you. You got to ascend up all of it. Trample his teachings. Trample where he prayed, "Not my will." And you got to trample the fact that he ascended on high. And he's praying for you right now. He's praying that don't go to hell. He ain't worth your soul. He ain't worth your soul. It ain't worth it. Jesus is praying for you tonight. You got to trample that. He had tread right on it. Oh, God. I feel so small right now. I feel so incapable of trying to preach this. Pray, church. I want somebody to leave and fall. David's experience when he left Jerusalem. This is what the Bible said in chapter 15, verse 30. David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept, his head covered, barefoot, weeping as they went. Oh God, sorrow. David was betrayed. It's there as he goes up that mount that he finds out Ahithophel has betrayed you. He's with the conspirators. You go on and keep entertaining that traveler. Make him king of your life. Those people that are so important to you now, they're going to betray you. They will conspire against you just like it happened to David. On the same mount, Christ was betrayed. David is betrayed as he goes up the Mount of Olives. David is misused. Ziba, servant of Saul. David has appointed him over the affairs of Mephibosheth. Ziba was a very covetous man. He would use David's abandoning Jerusalem to help himself. He would trample on David's misery to steal somebody else's inheritance. The whole deal is, he gave generous portions to David, but he's got an ulterior motive. He wants Mephibosheth's inheritance, his property. When you abandon God's presence, God's worship, the place of God's name, somebody is going to rob another saint's inheritance because of your sin. You ain't just going to hurt yourself. It will not just affect you. The devil will get full effect and measure out of it. Ma'am, do you love this church? If you're not here at this church, do you love your church? Do you really want to keep opening that door to the traveler? Because the end of that road, somebody in your church will lose their spiritual inheritance because of your sin. Am I all right, Brother Webb? Am I going too far? I've carried this for days. Don't be afraid. God didn't show me your face. I don't know your name. But you're here. Three days ago, I thought I might preach tonight. I thought I might preach Monday morning. I thought I might preach Tuesday morning. I thought I might not preach at all. That'd be fine. But the Holy Ghost spoke and said, don't you worry about when you preach. When you get her to preach, she'll be there. She'll be there. Holy Ghost doesn't miss it. You know who you are. You know where you've been. You know where your eyes have been. You know where your mind has been. You know. You've gone to the door when the traveler knocked. Maybe someone here tonight, you've been through it all. You're not entertaining the traveler. It's already conquered. You're already backslid out of the church. You went through this process. You're gone. You're out. God says, come home. It's not too late. Not too late. Not too late. But to you who have not fallen yet, or have fallen and have come back, but Do you really have the victory that you're going to keep that door shut? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Somebody come get a song. Beware the traveler. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me now. Help me now, Lord. I did not come to embarrass you, but God ain't going to make it easy on your sin either. One or two things. You're going to come pray through, or you're going to push it off. You may come and pray a little prayer, but in 3 days you'll be right back where you were if you don't pray through. It's coming. Call me a false prophet. Do whatever you want to do. Somebody don't pray tonight. There's a lot of hearts that are going to be broken. A lot of good people are going to be embarrassed. But nobody's going to be embarrassed as much as you. Where will you hide from me, says the Lord? I come in love. I come in grace. I come in mercy. I give you space to repent. I will expose you, says the Lord. All is open. I think everybody in this building could justify coming and praying. God, let me take heed lest I fall. But please, young lady, please, ma'am, when the rest come, don't sit back. Oh, don't sit back. Please. Please don't sit back. Please, would you pray? Your soul is precious to me and Brother Webb. More precious to God. Brother Barnett was reaching for you this morning. The Holy Ghost is reaching for you now. Come on. Come, church. Come on, everybody.